for this week's episode of Electric Podcast. I'm going to do it on my own. And we have quite a few things to discuss about. And if you guys want to help me out by asking questions or anything or comments, feel free to do so in the comment section on the right side of your screen. Though I know that not all of our normal listeners are here now due to the little complication with the links and everything, but we'll try to get that back up as soon as possible. Again, my apologies. All right, the first thing I want to discuss this week is we've been discussing how we see Tesla as being under a pretty intense cash crunch right now and a very intensive end of the quarter push, which is most often the case, but this time it seems a little bit crazier than usual for a bunch of reasons. We've been discussing the whole closing the stores, then decreasing the price, then increasing the price, then prolonging the delay between the price increase and the status quo in an apparent attempt to increase orders in a significant way. Those were for custom orders. And now this week, what happened is that Tesla also went, since the last week of the month, well, plus a few days, Tesla doesn't really need those custom orders at the end of the quarters because they cannot deliver them in time. So instead, what they're looking is at inventory cars. And sure enough, what Elon announced last weekend is that Tesla is going to be raising the price on inventory cars on April 2nd. Not April 1st, which is the first day of the next quarter, April 2nd. All right, don't know why exactly, but the price is going to increase, which of course creates some kind of discount for the last week of the quarter to order an inventory car, which you can get a lot sooner than a custom order car, which is going to help Tesla's end the quarter number. So again, on that front, a really big push for the end of the quarter. Then another weird move, at the same time, he announced that Model Y prices are going to increase by $1,000 by the end of the quarter again. And as we discussed when Tesla first launched the Model Y a few weeks ago, Tesla went a completely different way with the reservation process, which is actually not a reservation process. It's basically an order or a pre-order, if you will, because you can actually configure the car and everything. And instead of getting the $1,000 deposit, you get a $2,500, not a deposit, not a reservation on it, but processing fee on your order. The same thing you do when you actually place an order for Tesla's existing lineup of Model S, X, and N3. So by increasing the prices for a car that they haven't delivered yet, it's still over a year away, they are going to, of course, going to result in even more prices, even more pre-orders coming in, which is going to increase Tesla's cash position by the end of the quarter. Again, showing us signs that Tesla is under a pretty significant cash crunch right now. Still on that front of some kind of weird end of the quarter thing, though not directly related, but sort of adjacent to it, the standard batch pack Model 3 was supposed to be delivered by now. It hasn't been. As far as we know, no one has received a standard batch pack Model 3 to date. But some people already had their delivery date for the standard batch pack Model 3, and there were delivery dates by the end of the quarter, which made us think that Tesla was really going to deliver them on time, because again, they need those orders to be delivered. But instead, what happened is that Tesla sent out basically like a mass text messages to the people that already had a delivery schedule for the standard batch pack Model 3, and they told them that it's not going to happen, and people are going to reach out to them to schedule another date. As far as I know, no one has reached out to them to schedule another official date at this point. But they still did reach out to those people that got the delivery push, but it wasn't for a rescheduling. It was more for upselling them to the standard battery, the standard range plus battery pack for the Model 3. So a clear attempt at upselling those people in order to get the delivery faster, and even faster to the point that they could get it by the end of the quarter. Again, coming back to our series of evidence that Tesla is under a pretty big cash crunch. And again, on that kind of no discount thing being over, which we discussed last week, We even heard from several people being offered a discount on that upgrade to Standard Range Model 3 being $2,000 instead of $2,500. So it's quite evident that Tesla is pushing very hard to deliver those cars. Doesn't mean that the Standard Battery Pack None Plus isn't coming. It's just that I feel like Tesla really needs to focus on the higher end version at first, and especially this quarter, again, because they are having some cash issues. Elon is trying to justify those changes, saying that every car company, I'm quoting right now, every car company is constantly changing prices, but nobody cares. Which is fair to some degree, but I'd argue that it's not a very accurate statement to say that, because he says every car company is going to change prices, and that's not true. Prices from every car company, from every car brands, are changing constantly, but that's at the dealership level mostly. The MSRP of the manufacturer generally stays the same every year. It's being updated on a yearly basis. Tesla made it clear they don't want that approach, which is fair, but they also made it clear that they never wanted a discount. I mean, Elon Musk is on record saying that you should never discount a brand new car that's coming out of the factory without any defect. That's not true anymore. Like I just said, they just offer like a $500 discount for upselling people the Standard Range Battery Pack. Then now the inventory cars are getting a 3% bump by you get a 3% discount if you order an inventory car by the end of the quarter. So a lot of that stuff is it's being pushed aside, and you could argue that's maybe just for the end of the quarter, but then if it keeps coming back at every end of the quarter, then it doesn't mean anything at all. So I don't know. I don't feel great about that. I think Tesla, if they really want to change that, then they should like come out, all right, sorry, we're changing our wholesale approach, and we're going to be more flexible about the pricing, and it wouldn't be a better situation, but at least Tesla would be more transparent about their effort here. Plenty of Standard Range battery, Standard Range Plus battery pack are being delivered though, so that's great. It's a much cheaper, great value for the car that's coming out. It's just that we'd like to see that $35,000 version too, which of course come out with a standard interior, which no one has really seen yet. We just seen this, what's it called, the mid-range premium, like partially premium interior or whatnot, which is very similar to the current interior of the Model 3. Which could push us to think that Tesla might have been some difficulties manufacturing that standard version of it. But that'd be strange, because it's still pretty close to the original version, just with like a few minor changes. What I was going through here. Speaking of the standard batch pack of the Model 3, we saw that the EPA, the official EPA rating came out this week, with the car getting... And this is also plays into another thing, which is what is the difference between the Standard Range Battery Pack and the Standard Range Plus in terms of capacity and architecture itself. If you remember, when it first came out, Tesla was listing both cars as having the same weight. But of course, the interior is a little bit different, but the weight there shouldn't be that much different. But in terms of battery pack, it should be different. So the overall weight should be different if it's not the same battery pack. But they are listing the weight the same. We pointed that out to Tesla when it first came out, and they told us it was a mistake, because we assumed that it means that the Standard Range Plus is an actual battery pack hardware configuration, and the Standard Range is a software limited version of that battery pack. If the weight are the same, that's what it would indicate. But Tesla said no, it was a mistake how they were listing the price. That was three weeks ago or something, and they still list the weight as being the same, and we reached them out again and said, are you sure it's a mistake? And now they're just not answering our inquiries about that. So it's really weird. Now, bringing us to this week, the EPA rating coming out, and the EPA rating didn't come out actually, so it's not official on the website, but a reader that actually send us the Maroonie sticker that you see in the car. And the EPA rating is displayed there. And it shows 240 miles of range as Tesla previously estimated. But also the efficiency of it, which is in miles per gallon equivalent, it's 140 for the city driving and 128 for the highway driving, but 134 total, which is pretty damn good. Almost good enough to beat the Ioniq, which is, of course, the efficiency king now, and the EV world and passenger cars as a whole. But of course, the Model 3 standard range has a much longer range, bigger battery pack. So you could argue that in terms like of a fully useful vehicle, it is the most efficient by a significant margin in terms of that 200 miles plus vehicle. So that's a great achievement. Now, why I linked it back to the type of battery pack is that the way that the Maroonie sticker is set up, it calls the car the Model 3 standard range, and then it mentioned the standard range plus as an option on it. So I'm not sure how to interpret that, but the more it goes, the more it looks, sounds like Tesla just released one new battery pack, and that's the standard range plus, and the standard range is a software lock. Everything points to that, but Tesla said no at first. So I don't know if that person in question was just not aware, but they should have been, because they were in charge of that announcement. So very strange situation that we're going to keep looking into in the next few days. And hopefully, like, by next week, we can have a clearer look at the situation. But you guys know that Tesla in the past years since launching the Model 3, they have been a lot weirder about the whole battery capacity of their cars. They just want to refer to them now as standard and long range and stuff like that. They don't want to get into the kilowatt hour battery capacity, which I get in terms of like a marketing perspective. But you're buying a car, you kind of, it's a $30,000+ purchase. You kind of want to know what you're getting here. Like, what is the hardware? What is software lock and everything? I think it's fair that they could actually like release information. I really don't see why they wouldn't release it. I don't know. Like, you can make it like harder to find on the website and everything in terms of marketing. I get it, but for the people that actually want the information and they are educated enough to understand what it means and everything, make it available somewhere. I mean, it's such an easy thing to do. I don't know why. But again, we'll come back. We'll circle back to that in a few days. Hopefully next week. I'm looking if you guys have any question right now. Does it kind of massively improve battery pack? I'm not sure it does. I'm not sure that there's any indication that it's massively improved. Tesla is not like a regular car manufacturer. That's fair, Gok. That's fair. But I'm not agreeing that Tesla's model is not good. I'm agreeing that they are sort of not being honest about their model, which like with things like not a discount and stuff like that. So their President Trump article was brilliant. Well, thank you, MSC. That was the goal was not to get too political with that and just be straightforward with well, not with Trump himself, because I don't think he's going to read it or care, but he was spreading misinformation about electric vehicle, which for his cult following, that article was more about it. So without trying to upset them, which they are easily offended by how the media treat him, I think it was more about if they do happen on that article, they wouldn't be offended by what I'm saying about Trump. And they would get the actual real information about the electric vehicle, which it wasn't presented fairly by Trump in his speech. All right, let's move on. Autopilot is getting some significant upgrades in the past few days, a few weeks. But the context is really important here. So Tesla is basically starting to gradually implement stop traffic light detection into the system. So Tesla is now able to a degree to detect a traffic light and see if it's red, yellow, or green. And it shows on your render on the screen, on the center display for the Model 3, on the instrument cluster for Model S and X. You see a little traffic light appearing and you see if it's red, yellow, or green. Now, what Tesla does on that, it doesn't actually act on it in terms of vehicle controls. What it does right now in the publicly available version of it is if you're on autopilot and it feels like it's going to run a red light, it's going to give you an alert to just like, hey, wake up, take control, you're going to run a red light, which I think is a good feature to add. Now, what they're leading to with that is, of course, improving their traffic light detection in order to be able to handle completely an intersection. And that feature is already inside the software of the car. It's just being dormant. It's being passive right now. So how we know that is, of course, our good friend, Very Green, which is known as some kind of Tesla hacker, with root access to his vehicle, is able to unlock some different feature inside the software. And he brought us some very beautiful visualization for us to understand what the autopilot can and cannot see. And this time he found that the ability to stop at a red light was inside the software with the latest one, the 2019.8.3. And he tested it out because with his root access, he's actually able to activate that feature, and it did stop at a stoplight, but he admits that it's not super stable right now, and but it is improving. And he also noted that it's working on 2.0 and 2.5, so that's a good news. But of course, the hardware 3.0 is gonna make it a lot better too, because he said that the stability of it might have been also due to like some kind of computer power capability. So hardware 3 is going to be a welcome addition to at that level. You haven't written an article about the rumor about being in new cars. Apparently it's not true. It's still not in new cars, or at least not all of new cars. Tesla is being extremely vague about that, but I think it's coming out very soon. Bannon, the man in charge of the program, of the Autoware 2.0 program, said that it was coming out by the end of Q1, and we were very much at the end of Q1. So unless they are late again, which is of course a real possibility, it's going to be coming out very soon. Moving on. Oh yeah, Tesla started rolling out a new features, a new dynamic brake lights feature, which is, of course, nothing exactly new, and it's not Tesla came up with it. It's been around for a while, but Tesla started implementing in Europe right now with the Model 3. For those who don't know, dynamic brake light basically change the way the brake lights come up depending on the deceleration of your vehicle, in order to alert the people behind you better. In this case, what Tesla is doing, if you're traveling at over 50 kilometers an hour, which is 31 mile per hour, and brake very abruptly, very forcefully, the brake light at first will flash instead of just turning on. So it should wake someone behind you up and make sure that they see you. And as you do decelerate, they're also gonna turn on your hazard light. So sort of assuming that if you do brake forcefully at that speed, there might be some kind of accident in front of you, something happen, and you might need to stop. So it's a good thing to have your hazard lights on, and a bunch of people always forget that. So it automatically does it. But if it just is some kind of situation that you had to brake real quick, and then it's safe to continue on, then as soon as you accelerate again, it removes your hazard light. So it's not something that you're going to have to press the button every time. Of course, Tesla doesn't like you to press any button, so they're going to make sure that doesn't happen. The efficiency already went through that. Tesla is shaking up the German automaker, with Model 3 doing especially well on their own turf. On their own turf and in Europe in general, I see a bunch of people talking about the Model 3 numbers in the EU right now. They're going to be great. They're going to be at least pretty good, considering that it's not a full quarter. The real delivery volume came last month, so it was like half a quarter for the European delivery Model 3. So keep that in mind when the numbers comes out next week. But in Germany, it was especially impressive, where Tesla had 1,000 delivery last month, which was enough to make it the best-selling electric vehicle in the country. But then if you look at the tally of orders that was crowdsourced by Model 3 buyers in Europe, they actually have almost 5,000 orders right now. And that's pretty impressive, because Tesla delivered fewer than 2,000 cars in Germany last year with Model S and X. So with Model 3 alone this year, they're going to crush that number by just the order that are in right now, a factor of two, but I'm pretty sure orders will keep coming in, and in a big way too, because those are also just the two higher end version of the car, meaning the long range all-wheel drive and the long range performance version. So that's a really a fraction of the demand here, though maybe in Germany it might be a little bit more higher end, but I think it's the if they come back with the mid-range in Europe, or then in a standard plus battery pack, or the non-all-wheel drive version, like a long-range non-all-wheel drive, I think that's going to, like, 5,000 is going to be dwarfed by the demand that those vehicles are going to create. And, yeah, the big difference also in Germany is that now Tesla has access easily to that. Well, Tesla buyers have access easily to the 4,000 euros incentive for electric vehicles, which was a problem for Model S and X. With the 60,000 euros limit on it for the base price of the vehicle, which Tesla tried to play around with sort of debundling some features, but that didn't work perfectly well. So not a problem for Model 3 though, so Model 3 is going to do well with that. And hopefully that shakes up the automakers there a little bit, because the Model 3 is going to become like one of the best-selling premium sedan in the country, for sure the best-selling electric car in the country. So I think that's going to shake up the industry a little bit there. I see people talking also about the other markets in Europe, and for Norway is especially impressive. Strevzir just mentioned almost 600 registrations for Model 3s in Norway today alone, which is completely insane. I think they're already like well over 5,000 or 6,000 this month. Close to like 3,000, they're gonna hit like 8,000 maybe like this quarter, something like that. I'm not exactly sure on the number. I need to check them again. But yeah, just Norway alone is gonna be a great month for Tesla. And a few other markets are doing well too, like the Netherlands, Switzerland again doing well. I haven't seen Austria. Austria on my list is a pretty good market for Tesla. I don't remember seeing the numbers of Model 3 yet there. But I'm sure they're pretty good. So yeah, still though, Tesla is under a big cash crunch, because those cars, I don't think they came at the pace that Tesla wanted to the country. So, but what people are confusing this with, they're confusing this with some kind of demand issue, which would be easy to confuse it with, since Tesla has been pulling some demand lever to create orders. So you'd think, oh, they have a demand issue. But they have some kind of short-term demand issue. I think that long-term demand and mid-term demand, or even short-term demand for the Model 3 in Europe is immense. The problem is that Tesla is figured out that they couldn't deliver their car in the time frame that they wanted to in Europe, which creates a cash crunch for them, because they have to pay to make those cars, and they don't get paid until they get delivered. So and that was at a pace of like 5,000 cars per week, which is an extreme financial burden for them. So any kind of delay in delivering those cars in Europe, it just cost them millions. So that's why they switch at the end of the quarter for delivering cars in the US. And I think in the US they didn't have the demand for it, because they sort of gave up a little bit on the demand in the US to concentrate in Europe. And then there was the whole, of course, retail store fiasco that came with it, which didn't help, I think. But it's not a doomsday scenario like the shorts will have you think. It's just a few missteps, I think, in bad planning and maybe logistics on Tesla's part. You live, you learn. Moving on to rant and drive. Oh yeah, if we have a few listeners in the UK, in Australia, in Japan, maybe in India. I don't know. Well, Tesla is not yet available in India, so it doesn't matter much at this point. But the Model 3 right-hand drive has been spotted in California. So Tesla is definitely testing the right-hand drive Model 3 for our market launch later this year in the UK. And the UK already have some display of the Model 3, so it might be like fairly soon that the car is coming there. And I think it's going to be a big big market for the Model 3 in the UK. Ireland too, is Ireland right-hand drive, or at least part of Ireland is Ireland drive, right-hand drive. I'm not so sure about that. So the car is coming soon, guys. It's going to be a big deal. And I have to assume that the Model 3 is a little bit easier to convert into a right-hand drive in terms of production since and design, since the dash and everything is so symmetrical on both sides. So you just reverse the glove box with the steering column, and then you're good. Ireland is right-hand drive like the UK. Thank you, Sean Goggin. Now I know. All right, another good news for Tesla this week. They just started unlocking more power in the existing supercharger. So the V2 supercharger. When Tesla announced the V3 supercharger, they did say that they're going to unlock more power in the V2. We always knew that the V2 was capable of around 145 kilowatts of capacity, split into two stalls, of course. But they were always limited to 120, which we were told was due to a limitation at the car level, not at the supercharger level, because again, they had a capacity of 145. And now that Model 3 is able to take up to 250, even 255 apparently, then Tesla has no reason to limit the supercharger anymore, and they open it up. So now there's only a few supercharger V3 out there, but you could go to a V2 that has been unlocked, like we've seen now, and with your Model 3, and still get more than 120 for the first time. So we've seen one Redditor, I think his name is Privateer Bach. He got 147 on his Model 3, and yeah, that was good for 627 miles per hour of charging. So nothing to scoff at. That's pretty good. Earlier this year, we also reported on a letter sent. We're coming back to the retail situation at Tesla. Weeks after the original announcement, the retail staff is still sort of in the dark for the most part, really, on what's going on with the reversal of the situation and everything. So Elon sent out a letter to employees this week to sort of clarify the situation, and he admitted that he felt some uncertainty among employees. Which I think is an understatement. But he did send out a letter, which we published in full on Electrek, that goes into more detail of what his plans right now. And in short, high-performing stores right now with high visitation rate are going to be safe. They remain open, which of course makes sense. I mean, the fact that they even thought about maybe closing those stores, I don't know. The one with the low visitation rates are going to be closed. Again, something that makes sense. They don't work, close them. That's fine. That's fair. But then he said those that somewhere in the middle, and I'm quoting right now, will be evaluated over time to see there is some way to allow them to cover their costs. If there is, they will remain open. Otherwise, not. So again, it seems fair. But now what he's saying is like what the letter basically felt like is it felt like a challenge to the retail staff, like we might close you now, so like make it work and everything. And I feel for them because while it sounds like a fair challenge, like just like if you want to just you need to justify your job, which is completely fair, of course, from Elon to say that. But then it also came with a pretty significant pay cut, the whole situation here, because of the whole way the address, the whole sales going online. So in the letter, he still comes back to that. He says that now all the orders are going to be going online, and you can just help the customer order through his phone or through a computer or something. It was already like very close to that. The sales staff could handle the order for you. But I mean, the last time I ordered my car and everything was still, I assisted a bunch of them, and it's basically the same thing. It's just doing it with you on the computer instead of you doing it by yourself or something. So it's not that big of a deal. And then you have the inventory cars to take into account for that. And with the inventory cars, it's really useful to have the help of a sales staff here. So Elon did finish the email by saying that This is why Stars and Tesla product specialist and owner advisor will always be of critical importance to our long-term success. I mean, I'm glad that he finally says that, because it didn't look like that at all in the previous communication of it, and that we've been arguing about it for a few weeks, that they are indeed very important to the whole sales ecosystem at Tesla right now, even though online sales is, of course, becoming increasingly important. I think the in-store sale are already playing a big part of it, because even though like all kind of sales are going online right now, the cars, even though they are too, it's a lot slower, because of course most people still want test drives before before buying a car, which I think is fair. And Stars employees are useful to give test drive, because they're knowledgeable about the car, even though Tesla has a very strong fan base and already knowledgeable when they get into those stores. And we heard, of course, there was plenty of stories of people that felt like they knew more than the sales staff, which I'm sure that happens sometimes, but I've met plenty of Tesla employees at Stars that I felt that were very knowledgeable about the product, and even taught me a few things myself, even though like I'm in that stuff all the time, nonstop. So I was glad for the email for the most part, but I still feel for the employees about the compensation being slashed significantly, even though they're gonna have to mostly do the same job. So that's that pissed off anyone, I think. All right, moving on from Tesla, GM announced this week that they will not change the price, or at least the MSRP, of the Chevy Bolt EV after the federal tax credit phase out. So if you've been following, Tesla lost their federal the full tax credit because the phase out was triggered this year, so over the last quarter. For GM, it's going to start next quarter, so next month. As soon as next month, instead of $7,500, you're going to get $3,550 for the Bolt EV, or any kind of other EVs that GM is going to launch, which is supposed to start next year. Launch on the Bolt platform, though, just to be clear. And they did say that it is easier to react to the market by working with dealers and your marketing team than changing the sticker price. I mean, I don't know exactly what that means. Are they going to work with dealers to reduce that price? And dealers, if the MSRP is the same, like the dealers, they react to demand and everything. So the demand's gonna be lower, so they're gonna try to lower their own cut of their own margin on it, I assume. That's what he's saying. And for the marketing team, like, they're gonna reduce the marketing on the Bolt. I mean, you won't sell more Bolt with if it costs $3,700 more. I think it's gonna be very hard for GM on that. I don't know what their plan is here, but not that the Chevy Bolt EV sales were really impressive in the first place. We're talking about roughly 1,000 units a month in the US, though some also in Canada and some in the overseas, but nothing that impressive. And I feel like it's going to be even more underwhelming in the next few months with that price drop. All right. The Lightning Strike. So if you guys have been following Lightning motorbikes, Lightning motorcycles, they've been doing some kind of high-powered electric bikes for a while now, and they just released their new vehicle, a new format, which is the Strike, which comes in a bunch of different variants, much like a Model 3, if you will. And it is pretty interesting, because they're coming down to prices comparable to something like the Zero motorcycle, but with a full speed bike, like a high speed bike, with that also look more aggressive, if you will, than a rider like Zero's. Zero's have a few models too. So in terms of stats here, it comes in three different versions. The Strike Standard start at just $13,000. It has a power output of 67 kilowatts for a top speed of 217 kilometers an hour. That's 135 miles per hour with a 10 kilowatt hour battery pack, which is good for 70 to 100 miles of range, which is decent, not great. But again, that's just a standard version. It costs you $13,000. You have a level 1 charging, level 2 charging at up to 3.2 kilowatts level 2 charging that can be upgraded to 6.6 kilowatt for 1500 more. Then you have the mid-range version. Mid-range version, very interesting, $17,000. You get a little higher. No, the speed is the same. Sorry, the speed is the same. What you get for that $4,000 more is a little bit more range, 15 kilowatt hour battery pack, so 50% more energy capacity, 105 to 150 miles of range, and the charger remains an option too on it. Or is it the standard charger? Yeah, the standard. Okay, it is an option. Then finally, you have the Strike Carbon Editions, $20,000, so a little bit more. Still somewhat reasonable. You have zero motorcycles that are 20,000 or more. But now look at that. You get a 90 kilowatt motor and a 20 kilowatt hour battery pack. Not even sure how they fit the 20 kilowatt hour battery pack in that bike, but apparently they do. And that gives you 150 to 200 miles of range. Ooh, that's pretty good for a bike. The 6.6 kilowatt hour kilowatt onboard charger becomes standard. And it also has DC fast charging, which do they release the charge right here? No, they don't. But they said that 35 minutes for 100 miles of range, so you can do the math. So yeah, you can go on electric. Micah did a very good article on it with all the specs and breaking down all the different. He made a nice table showing the three different options. 20 kilowatt hour, yeah, that's pretty big. All three levels of charging. Almost 500 pounds, so it's an EV bike though, but you get some power there, for sure. When is it coming? Sorry about that, I should have figured that out first. Okay, yeah, it will be announced later this year, so we don't exactly know when it's coming. But it is pretty exciting. Do you guys have any question right now? Because I worked through that old faster now that I didn't have set to bounce idea of as we spoke. So that's just a 38-minute show. If you guys have any question, real quick, I'm gonna answer them. And again, we apologize for the problems with the webcast. For some reason, it looks like Hangout is not allowing us to do it anymore. We cannot do it through Hangout for some reason. Do you think Tesla will ever buy a Lyft? I don't think Tesla can buy a Lyft, financially speaking. I think they can barely get through this current quarter, and now they're not gonna buy a company that just went public today. Hardware 3 coming? Yeah, I assume it is very soon. Young, it's gonna come soon, I'm sure. Just the exact timing is weird. I think Tesla might be starting to get a few of those inside vehicles right now. It's just that they might not be to a pace of being able to do the full 7,000 plus car they make a week. And I don't think they're going to announce that it's inside the vehicle until they can. So, of course, because it's going to make people wait until they're sure to get the car in. But again, it should be also a retrofit, so it's not that big of a deal. Are you coming to Tesla Corsa? No, unfortunately, I cannot come to Tesla Corsa this week. I was at the last event, though, and it was awesome. So I recommend that everyone can show up to Bottom Willow to do it. It is, especially if you can come early and get... they might be full right now, so you might not be able to drive. But just watching and talking to the Tesla owners there, it's a great experience. I recommend it. Tesla Corsa, it's called. How come the most expensive possible SR Plus deliveries are being delayed? I didn't know that that was the case, that the most expensive ones, like, what can make it more expensive? Like, to have a different color and the autopilot package on it? I mean, there's not that many options that you can have. But I'm going to look into it. American versus Chinese manufacturing with a higher quality in Europe. Well, that's always been an issue, Matt, but... I think that it's been overblown. The Chinese manufacturing, especially in the vehicle aspect of it, is becoming a lot better. So much better that a lot of automakers now, foreign automakers, not necessarily Chinese ones, are looking to make their cars in China and export them to other markets. What was announced this week was, well, we had the BMW that's doing it with the iX3. We're still only talking about electric vehicles here. Volvo's doing it with the Polestar, made it in China, exported to worldwide markets. And there was another one that was announced this week. Oh yeah, Daimler is going to do it with a smart brand. So the smart brand, smart cars are going electric in the US, going electric in Europe. And now they made a deal with Geely, I think in China they did make the deal with, to make them in China and export their EVs, smart cars EVs, everywhere else. When will Tesla buy Ford? Same answer as buying Lyft, Steven. They cannot buy them right now. They are barely able to get through the quarter. Sell more cars than Mercedes. No, that will happen, though. That I'm pretty confident it's going to happen. And relatively soon, too. Unless Daimler wakes up a little bit more like Volkswagen then. Yeah, because I do think, Devian, that Volkswagen can compete with Tesla next year, at least at the lower end of the market, with the hatchback that they're coming up, the electric hatchback they're coming up. That's going to be a great car. I'm sure of it. And a very important car. I said the lower end of the market, but that car is going to be available with several battery pack configuration, and the bigger one, which I think is going to come first, is going to be relatively expensive. So take that into account. But I think long term, Volkswagen is going to be able to compete with Tesla for sure. Tesla's not going to be like the only player in the game. There's some established legacy automakers that are waking up to it. The e-tron has been in pre-production for 10 years. I'm not sure that's the case, Steven, but yeah, I understand the sentiment here. There has been some significant delays with the e-tron. She's supposed to be here in the next few months. Here, I mean, in the U.S., so I'm looking forward to check it out more long term, because I had a few days with it last year, but it was the European pre-production version. I'd like to see like the US version and try it out here. Is the EQC coming out this year or next? They still say that it's coming out this year, Matt, but that's in Europe. I think here it's going to be next year for sure. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But I think they basically sold out. They're going to start delivering the first one in June in Europe, but it's going to be only in Europe. It's already sold out for what they can deliver this year. So the other markets are going to be probably next year. And then if you don't have a reservation, it might be even longer, because they haven't been very open about the kind of volumes they want to do, which is a bummer. What do you think about the Honda e-prototype? I assume you talk about the urban city cars that Honda is doing. I like the first prototype that they showed, the first concept vehicle. I think that was great. I think they should have just made that right then and there and sell that. It's not that bad looking now. They went into like two or three different iterations since. The last one looks decent, but I was so excited about the first retro looking one. That I was kind of bummed out by the new version, even though, again, they are fine too. That's coming out later this year in Europe, so I look forward to going there and checking it out, because Honda hasn't done anything very exciting in the EV space with things like there was the Honda Fit EV for a while, but that was very much a compliance car, and now there's the Clarity, but do anyone really care about the Clarity? What do you think about the take and starting price would be 100 plus K? No, Young, I don't think it's going to be 100 plus K. I think it's going to be a lower powered version with smarter battery packs, and it's going to be under 100 K. But then I think it's going to be a great performance car. So the performance version of it is going to definitely be over 100 K. And I think that's the one that's going to grab the most attention. It's going to be probably like the first real competitor to like the P100D or what Tesla now calls the Model S performance. I'm looking forward to an actual comparison of the two, because normally I don't like comparing like EVs with EVs. I'm just like, they're all better than gas-powered cars, which is what is important. But in this case, it's like it's going to be like a type of flagship EV, if you will. So it will be nice to compare it with Tesla's own flagship EV. The InfoCar Canada is in debt. They're finished, man. Canada is in debt now. Yeah, every country is in debt, basically. I'm not sure that means they're finished. Yeah, Canada did came out with the $5,000 incentive, but as far as we know, Tesla is not yet available. It's not yet available to Tesla buyers because of the starting price of $45,000. Tesla's Model 3 started at $47,000, but like Tesla did in Germany, they might do something like unbundling a few features to make it work. We'll see. We have no word on that yet. All right, that's I think that's pretty much it for us this week, guys. Thanks a lot for listening, and again, we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we're gonna be back next week, hopefully with a setup that's gonna work for both Seth and I, and we're gonna talk about it. So see you same place next time. Have a good one.